Thank you very much. I'll be giving a report this morning about the SARC 45. This is a slide that you've seen before, and I just show it each time to remind people that are new in the audience about the process. This is our primary external peer review process called the SAWSARC. We generally get people to from the Center of Independent Experts to come in as reviewers. The emphasis at these meetings is on just reviewing the science, and it's not involved with management. The CIE provides to us a consensus summary as well as individual reports from each of the reviewers. There's very little, if any, management advice in these reports, and the management advice is developed after the science is done by the technical committees, working groups, and PDTs. Now, specifically, this meeting was held June 4th to the 9th in Woods Hole. We had on the left, this shows the external reviewers who were at the meeting. We had a chairman and three CIE panelists. You can see that they come from all over the world, and this is typical of these SARC panels. The two species that were on the agenda for this were northern shrimp and sea scallops, and those are the results that I'll be presenting now. In the way of giving you the bottom line here, both of the assessments, they were both accepted by the reviewers. In other words, the scientific terms of reference that were provided were completed successfully in the eyes of the reviewers. And therefore, the results about stock status that I'll be presenting now are accepted by peer review, and they represent the best science that we have at this time. And these reports are available at the website that's shown at the bottom of the slide. Also, for those of you at the table, there are copies of my presentation behind tab one. And they're labeled 2 and 3. I think 3 is the report, the science report itself, and 2 is maybe the presentation. So for these assessments, we have a lengthy list of terms of reference. And we start with a generic list and then modify it slightly for each of the species. For northern shrimp, that's an assessment that is conducted primarily by ASMFC, and they helped us in this case to modify the generic terms of reference in ways that they felt were more appropriate. But in general, they're very similar to our generic terms of reference. Number one is usually to characterize the commercial data, and then number two to get estimates of fishing mortality rate and stock biomass. And then 3 and 4 get into issues of stock status. And then often there are questions about uncertainty of the data later on. Number 6 is an ecosystem type of term of reference where, because northern shrimp are a prey item to many species in the Gulf of Maine ecosystem, and we have a very good database on predators and their prey, we were able to have a term of reference to estimate the amount of shrimp that are consumed by the predators. And this was used to get a better handle on what the estimate of natural mortality rate should be for northern shrimp. And then number 7 is to review on the status of research recommendations from previous meetings. So getting into some of the results, first I'll just show some of the descriptive data about the fishery. Northern shrimp commercial catch and effort, this, as you can see from this plot, these are It's a fishery that primarily takes place inshore off of Maine and New Hampshire. This plot shows the shrimp catch as well as effort. The effort is in the blue squares, and the red indicates the size of the catch. And here are the data from 1960 through 2006. The black line shows the total landings of northern shrimp. And this line on my screen, it's pink, and it shows the landings that were landed in the state of Maine. And you can see that for the most part, most of the landings come from the state of Maine. Green and blue down here are landings from other states in New England, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. Now, in the 1970s, the landings were at their very highest level. Then they fell throughout the late 70s and then increased after 1995 for a couple of years and have since been relatively low. And when we look at the fish estimates of fishing mortality rate and biomass, these landings patterns are often correlated with the size of the stock and the fishing mortality rate. The surveys that have been conducted are done in the summer, and the big news here is that the indices are up for 2005 and 2006. Number per toe is shown in the left and weight per toe on the right. And for 2005 and 2006, you can see that these are historic high values for the survey, both in numbers and in weight. And this is good news in the sense that there are a lot of shrimp out there. From the stock assessment perspective, it creates uncertainty because when the highest values occur at the end of a time series, we're always a little unsure about whether they'll carry into the future. But the fact that there have been two surveys that are relatively high suggests that these shrimp will at least be affecting the state of the population and the recruitment for the next few years. And the reviewers took a very close look at the spatial distribution of the toes that went into these surveys to make sure that they were representative, and they were satisfied that these were legitimate surveys. The estimate of recruitment for the coming into the population is looking very good. For 2007, there's an estimated recruit biomass of close to 40,000 metric tons. Another thing which made which the reviewers considered was what's going on in the commercial fishery in terms of catch per unit of effort. And all of the data sets were consistent. In other words, the survey data as well as what the commercial fishermen were telling us indicated that the stock is very high. So using a model that they've developed called the CSA model, it stands for Colley-Sissonwine Analysis, and an older model that is a production model, they have estimates of fishing mortality rate over time, which is shown in the upper panel, and biomass of the stock over time. And the primary model that's being used here is the CSA model, and that's shown with these brown squares. And the other model is used simply to get a sense of what may have been going on in the past, because the newer model can only be started in 1985. In terms of stock status, I put a green circle over the most recent estimate of fishing mortality, and it's 0.03 per year, which is extremely low. The F threshold is shown by this red line, and its value is 0.22. So the overfishing is not occurring. And just to relate this back to the landings, remember that the landings were very high back in the mid-70s, and fishing mortality rate was estimated also to be very high. And here's another period where fishing mortality rate was high in the past, around 1998. But as I said, it's been quite low in recent years. Now, the model also gives estimates of stock biomass, and it was going along at a fairly stable level, going around the biomass threshold. And with those recent two surveys that have occurred in most recently, the stock is not overfished. In fact, it's way above the biomass threshold. Now, getting to that ecosystem term of reference, a number of people worked on this. It was a good collaboration between scientists at the Science Center and ASMFC scientists. And a number of predators of pandallid shrimp were identified. And this is not a complete list. These are just some of the major predators of the shrimp. And using the data on what was caught in their stomachs from all of our surveys, they were able to, and using a bunch of assumptions about how quickly they digest food, what time of day they're feeding, where they're, the spatial considerations, and the ratio of this species to all the shrimp that are captured in stomachs, there are a lot of assumptions that go into this, but they were able to make an estimate of the weight of shrimp that are consumed per year. And this is a very uncertain estimate, but it comes out in the neighborhood of 40,000 metric tons per year, which is quite a bit higher than the commercial landings. So, in fact, natural mortality predation is a very important part of the stock dynamics for northern shrimp. Another really important thing that came out of this analysis was that it was able to give the scientists a better estimate of what natural mortality rate actually is in the population, because in a lot of stock assessments, we don't really have a good estimate of natural mortality rate. And this analysis told the scientists that in the next time they do this assessment, they should be using a higher value of natural mortality in their model. So they plan to do that the next time. But that didn't ruin these results, because the reference points are scaled to the assumed level of natural mortality rate. So the results on stock status still stand, and they just made the recommendation next time to use a higher M and to re-estimate the reference points using that M as well. So the reviewers had pretty good things to say about this assessment, that all the terms of reference were completed successfully. Current abundance is high, but may be overestimated. Uncertainty exists. Number three, that the assumed natural mortality rate is very likely too low and will need to be updated, along with the biological reference points. The number four, given the low market demand right now and the high stock size, there is minimal short-term risk to the stock of using the current biological reference points. And number five, northern shrimp are a major source of prey to numerous fish, but the consumption estimates are very uncertain and need to be refined. The reviewers also made some recommendations about how to improve the assessment. Number one, to re-estimate the natural mortality rate. Number two, to continue using this consumption estimate to bound the assumed values of M, the natural mortality rate. Number three, to target the target and threshold fishing, overfishing reference points are equal to each other, and this is not a good thing. said it's better to have different values for the target and the threshold with a buffer between them. Number four, they suggested that it might be good to try a more detailed model. I'm not so sure that the shrimp data would actually work for that, but it's a suggestion. And then number five, just to get better data that go into the assessment. So in general, that's the my presentation for northern shrimp. And the news is good. The assessment was accepted, and the stock is in good shape for the moment. And now I'd like to go on to sea scallops. For this assessment, there were a number of terms of reference similar to shrimp, but in this case, there was no ecosystem term of reference. But again, they're characterizing all the commercial data, estimating fishing mortality rate, biomass, looking at the biological reference points, doing projections, et cetera. And this assessment was, the reviewers really felt they complimented the stock assessment scientists, including it was a good collaboration between folks from the Science Center as well as SMAST, Kevin Stokesbury. All kinds of data were used in this assessment, which hadn't been done in previous assessments. So that was one of the major themes of this meeting, was they were very impressed that so many sources of data were now being integrated into the work, and they felt that this was a big improvement. So starting out just by showing you the results from the 2006 Center Scallop Survey, I'm sure most of you know where the high abundances of sea scallops are. In the mid-Atlantic region now, the elephant trunk closed area, there were very high catches. Red indicates the boomer toes. It's hard to see on the screen. Then there was a large concentration in the Great South Channel. And on George's Bank in closed area 2, and also along the northern edge of George's. I'll just quickly review the landings over the since 1964. If you just squint at this, you can see that there's been a real increase in the landings that have occurred in the last 40 years in this fishery. And the Mid-Atlantic and George's Bank have generally, it's been tilted slightly in favor of George's Bank, but the Mid-Atlantic has always contributed as well to where the landings are taken. And since about 1998-99, the Mid-Atlantic was, a larger proportion of the landings were from the Mid-Atlantic, but in 2006, George's Bank came back, and a higher proportion were from George's. And this had to do with the number of landings that were taken from different access areas, the Hudson Canyon versus George's Bank. But the main thing is that landings have really increased a lot in this fishery. And this is another success story where the scallops are now being managed with rotational harvesting schemes. They're growing to a size which is ideal for harvesting them. And as a result, many more metric tons of meats are landed. A new model was developed for this assessment, and the biomass reference points were revised along with that. And I'd like to just briefly talk about what's new in the calculation. Before, the biomass target was based on older life history information and selectivity information and an estimate of recruitment based only on the NEFSC Science Center survey. And the units for the biomass target were simply in kilograms per survey tow. Now, in this new model which has been developed, there's a revised biomass target, and it uses new life history information and selectivity information and an estimate of recruitment for the entire stock from the assessment model. So it is using a lot more kinds of information as well as updated information. And the units now are not in terms of kilograms per survey tow, but now in terms of metric tons of meats for the entire stock for scallops of a certain size. Now I'd like to show you we always ask them to show us what the status would be based on the current reference points, and then to also show what the results would be based on any updates or redefined reference points. So I'll start by showing the results based on the current definition, which is simply in units of kilograms per tow from the survey. Basically, the story is the same whether you use the old or the new, so it's not a problem. But here are the results from using the current definition. The black line is the overall kilograms per tow in the survey through time. And you can see that it's increased a lot since 1995. The red and the blue line show the survey catch per tow in the two regions, the Mid-Atlantic and Georges. And then the biomass target and the biomass threshold are indicated here by the green and the reddish line. And the current value is of 7.3 kilograms per tow is above the biomass threshold. So based on the current definition, the stock is not overfished. Now switching to the new reference point that was computed with the new assessment model. As I said, the result is the same. The biomass in the two regions is now being estimated, and so the scale is now in terms of metric tons of meat for the entire stock. And again, the total is shown by this green dot. It's well above the biomass threshold, which is it's 166 kilograms. 1,000 metric tons of meat is well above 54,000 metric tons, the biomass threshold. So based on the new proposed definition, the stock is also not overfished. And a result of this, a more detailed result, is that about half of the biomass is within each of the two regions, the Mid-Atlantic in blue and Georges Bank in white. This is simply showing the results that you saw in the previous slide in a slightly different way. And the black dots with the bell-shaped curve around them show the estimate of the biomass of the stock with how much uncertainty there is around that estimate. And then the dashed lines indicate the biomass threshold and the biomass target that are proposed. And you can see that the biomass is well above the threshold and target. Then looking at the fishing mortality rate, it was high in the past and has since come down since about 1992. And the lines here, the green dashed line and the little dotted line above it, show the current as well as the proposed overfishing threshold. The proposed value of 0.29 was simply a revised estimate of Fmax for sea scallops, and the old value was 0.24. But both of these values are above the estimate of F for 2006, so overfishing is not occurring in this stock. And that's true whether you use the current overfishing threshold or the proposed threshold. And this shows that result in this other way with the bell-shaped curve. The green dot is below the current threshold and the updated threshold, so overfishing is not occurring. But here it shows, given the spread of the curve, it shows that there's some probability that fishing mortality rate is in fact higher than the green dot. So looking at the spread of these estimates, it's a good idea to do that to get a sense of how sure you are about a result. Now, moving on with a look towards the future, we have to think about recruitment. And this is a plot over time of the total recruitment into the fishery. And the George's Bank area, which is shown in red, has taken it's been somewhat low recently compared to its average over time. And the Mid-Atlantic, which is shown in blue, has had very high recruitment events in recent years. And the total recruitment is shown here in the black line. It has a lot of variance about it, but in general, total recruitment has been higher since about 1996 than earlier than that. And the green dashed line shows the median of all of the values of the total. So recruitment has been bouncing around, and the most recent estimate is slightly below the median, but the year just before that it was above. So it's been bouncing around, and there's a little concern about recruitment on George's Bank being below. It appears to be below its average. But again, it has been variable. The assessment team, in particular Devorah Hart, developed a model for doing projections, and it takes into account the rotational management scheme. And both of these graphs show what the expected biomass of the stock will be in the next few years, as well as what the landings would be under the rotational management scheme. And for both of these, the outlook is good. The stock is expected to be pretty stable with a slight increase, and landings can be expected to remain close to where they have been. So finishing up with what the reviewers had to say about this, much has been accomplished since the last assessment, and all the terms of reference were completed successfully. The assessment model, CASA, was appropriate, and it improved the precision and had less bias than other models. They support modeling the two areas separately and then combining them, which is what the assessment team did. However, there's each of the areas has a retrospective pattern in its results, and fortunately, when they combine the results from the two areas, they cancel each other, so there's no retrospective pattern for the total stock. But there is some concern about that pattern, and the next time this analysis is done, there's no guarantee that the two retrospective patterns will cancel each other. So that's a concern. They said that the reference points were appropriately recomputed to reflect new information on growth and selectivity, and the magnitude of the yield per recruit-based F benchmark seems reasonable. For recommendations, right now the proxy for FMSY is FMAX, and the reviewers felt that it would be good to start looking at stock recruitment relationships and perhaps switching over to a reference point that was based more in terms of stock recruitment productivity of the stock rather than a yield per recruit type of reference point. And they called for stronger data collection, although they were quite pleased with the amount of data that were available. They always seem to find that more data is desirable. In the future, maintain a comprehensive dredge survey of the stock to support future stock assessments. And last, support research on stock recruitment relationships, including environmental and oceanographic influences. That concludes my talk. Thank you.
Okay, we have 5 minutes, and then we're going to move on to scallops. Questions on scallops first? Dr. Pierce.
Jim, from your last few remarks regarding the reviewer's recommendations, it indicates to me that the reviewers actually felt that there was enough information in hand to conclude that there might actually be a stock recruitment relationship from which we could actually develop these biological reference points. Is that a correct statement on my part, that there's, they concluded there is enough information that suggests that we can develop a relationship, that it's worth pursuing?
Yeah, I think that during the meeting they asked for the assessment scientists to, during the night when they weren't doing anything else, to plot up some of the data. So they brought that into the meeting, and I'm not really sure, but I believe that some of those graphs will be in the large assessment document, which is almost ready to complete the publication of. So I think the groundwork has been done on that, and perhaps in the future they'll consider moving towards that.
So, Dr. Pierce, anyone else? Dave.
Thanks. I had a question on recruitment and how that estimate has changed. I know it's biomass-based now, but I'm wondering, when you say it's more comprehensive, is it more spatially complete? And I was wondering about, you mentioned that you're using multiple sources of information to estimate the recruitment. Does that mean that there's a considerable time lag? In other words, does it take 3 or 4 years to get convergence on a recruitment estimate, that type of thing?
Well, you'd have to ask Devora for the details, but the model is based on the growth rate of different size classes of scallops. So recruitment, when we're talking about recruitment, it would certainly build that in. And the model is also it's a comprehensive model that's looking at the survey data as well as the catch data and all of these size classes moving through the population. So it's trying to estimate recruitment based on all of those factors instead of simply looking at the one survey index that we used in the past and figuring out what slice would represent the kilograms per toe of recruits.
Frank.
Thank you, John. Just a quick question. Look at the biomass. We're a bit above the biomass target, and it looks like it's projected to be there out until at least 2009, and that's as far as the table goes. And it's considerably above the biomass target. Is the biomass target wrong?
Well, question which I can't answer quickly, because in fact Devora's written a whole paper about this. Because of the fact that we have rotational management, trying to simplify this into a simple biomass target is not it's convenient for us and probably required for management, but in terms of maximizing the yield from the stock, you're, in fact, looking at what's going on within each of these areas and when you harvest from it and so forth. So the way that the projections are done, and that's taking into account the area-based management and what's expected to come out. And I believe that model is maximizing what can be removed given the circumstances within each area, which is different than the overall biomass target that we have for the entire stock. So I think that Devora would probably argue that one could think of, if you're going to do spatial management, having different targets for different areas. But I don't think that people want to be that complicated about it, and therefore having the one estimate is what we use. So That's just a taste of the discussion that goes on about this.
Okay, it's 10:30. We're going to move on to the next agenda item. Jim, thanks a lot for presenting. And